you're listening to the Sunday Show Tunes podcast. I'm Paul.
And I'm Maureen. In this week's episode, we'll be chatting with West End star Rachel John about her brand new album.
And we'll be catching up with cabaret sensation Miss Hope Springs and her creator, Ty Jeffries, about returning to London's Crazy Cocks. Miss Hope Springs has gathered a loyal and enthusiastic following since she burst onto the cabaret scene 10 years ago. She has sold out prestigious cabaret venues and theatres both here and in the USA. And we are thrilled that Miss Hope's alter ego, Ty Jeffries, is with us now. Hi, Ty. How are you?
I'm fine. How nice to see you and be on your show. Thanks for having me.
It's lovely. Oh,
thrilled.
Lovely to have you here. So your parents were both actors, and did going into the theatre seem inevitable when you were growing up?
Far from it. No, my parents did everything they could possibly do to dissuade me. most responsible show business parents will do. I actually was focusing on music from the age of five, playing the piano in the old Steinway piano that American friends left in our potting shed. And
I love it, a Steinway in a potting shed.
I know, I couldn't resist.
Only in, yeah, exactly.
And then I went to music school, and I suppose I studied to become a classical musician, pianist, singer, vocalist, violinist, composer. But then I suppose my love of Hollywood and Broadway couldn't be denied. And Miss Hope Springs was sort of lurking beneath the surface.
Well, that's perfect, because I was going to say, what was your first experience of drag? And that was, you know, what was that?
Well, I suppose it was going to see Danny LaRue at the Palace Theatre when I was a little boy. We used to go over a year because my dad and mom were great friends of his. In fact, my dad went on to play Horace Van der Gelder in Hello, Dolly, with Danny playing Dolly in the 80s.
I love it.
And so I remember going to the Palace Theatre and up to the dressing room after the show, and Danny was in some incredible red velvet and gold brocade gown with all his hair all up, like something from the 1860s. And the room was also red velvet and gold brocade. So it was quite a surreal moment where he matched the decor. I think that's what started me off.
And Danny LaRue was, it's kind of one of a kind. He definitely broke the mold, didn't he, in the UK here, because it was not normal to see a man in a dress, really, on television.
No, I mean, he worked with Ronnie Corbett initially. They had like a double act at Danny's club, LaRue's. And it was the place to go. Everyone was there, you know, Barbara Windsor and the Craze. And I know my mom and dad went there many times. And somehow it was just the right ecosystem for someone like him to come to be seen and to be embraced by the general public, by the family audiences. Mm. And that went on, really. It was very much a flavor of the time. Dick Emery did a lot of drag. We loved him. And, Ronnie Corbett and Ronnie Barker did a lot of drag in their shows. It was very mainstream, really. Even Les Dawson.
They were men in dresses, Ty. Danny wasn't a man in a dress.
Well, he would have said it himself. He would, because he would drop out of it quite regularly, his show, and he'd go, "Watch your cock." And he was the first person to sort of, I think, if I can say the word cock in a frock, I think he coined that phrase. So he really did consider himself drag. Mm. I think what I do is different in as much as I'm not Ty Jeffries doing a show. I'm Miss Hope Springs doing a show. Mm. Miss Hope Springs is not a drag creation. She's a woman with a full backstory. And of course, as you probably know, an entire repertoire of songs that I've written for her.
Priceless.
Thank you, Maureen. She's, it's unfortunately, my success in this last 10 years has been against the backdrop of things like RuPaul's Drag Race. And I think it's good for them, but it's sort of tarnished what I do with that brush, because people think that's what I do, and that is not what I do.
It's not. It truly isn't. It's being someone who has seen your show and just fell in love with you and Miss Hope Springs. What I love about your show is that you are first really, as Ty Jeffries, a composer. So, you know, you're not going up and I love the drag shows, this, you know, and I love RuPaul and everything, but what you are really doing is Miss Hope Springs is a woman who has the backstory and original songs to go with it, where you accompany, you know, you play on the piano as Miss Hope Springs, you know, and it is, and it's a whole story.
Yeah. It's the backstory has sort of grown and accumulated over the years and been added to and sort of has taken on a life of its own. But I think that is what is my USP, is the fact that it's a completely original repertoire of songs. But I always think of Miss Hope Springs, I don't know if you ever saw the wonderful Saturday Night at the London Palladium, but probably before your time, when you were in a bassinet.
Not at all, sadly.
But you'd see some glamorous older American woman, usually, sort of, here she is, ladies and gentlemen, whoever she was, and she'd come out in a sort of turquoise chiffon and ostrich feather gown and her hair all up in beautiful earrings, and she'd come into a song and no one would know who the hell she was. But she was bringing all this glamour and all this show business and all this fabulousness. And you also got the fact that she was past her prime, which I loved. And she'd do a sort of, she'd probably do a Bacharach song, a Michel Legrand song, and maybe something by Rodgers and Hammerstein. And so what I've done is I've filled all those place markers, but with original songs. So I've got songs that do what the Beatles songs do and do what the Bacharach songs do and do what the Michel Legrand songs do in all the right places, but they're fresh to the ears. They're not covers and they're not even pastiche. They're seriously written.
Yeah.
Musical
and they beautifully written,
and they feel so familiar. And they and you could be, you could watch the show and go, "Oh, somebody must, that must be a cover," because they do feel absolutely right. If we were to ask Hope to describe herself to us, how would she do that?
Well, first of all, she'd say she was 39.
Me too.
Yeah, we all do.
She must have been 39 for the last 40 years. And she would also say that, you know, she's, after 40 years, she's thrilled to be having overnight success. You know, she's, I don't know how she'd describe herself, but I see her as a sort of almost Buster Keaton character. Quite a few of the shows, she enters with in a raincoat with a suitcase. And it's almost as if she's just walked off the street, because in a way she is a sort of lost soul. And she's been around, you know, since possibly Pompeii. There are rumors of a mural, a fresco in an old Pompeian brothel. There's a picture of Hope playing a lyre in there.
So you are celebrating a 10-year residency at London's fabulous Crazy Cox this year. Okay, what can we expect from this series of shows that you are doing at the Crazy Cox? It's a full week. I love it.
Yes, I'm honored to have that opportunity. Yes, I've been there 10 years. I opened the room for Jeremy King and Chris Corbin almost exactly 10 years ago. So it's really revisiting a number of Hope's shows, because over the years, I must have done two different themed shows every year. So there'd be, and I'd write all new material for them, apart from Maybe the Devil Made Me Do It, which is Hope's theme song. So people would sort of lock the doors and not let me out until I'd done it. But I did shows. I did Je M'appelle Hope, which was Hope's French album from 1968. Latin Ala Springs, which is the sort of the Latin stuff from Bossa Novas and so forth. I did Out of This World, which was a sort of sci-fi themed one. I did Blood, Sweat and Sequins, which was the disco years. And I've done Vegas to Weimar and Girl in a Million. I mean, so many shows, so many songs.
So if we'd missed those previous 10 years worth of shows, this is the one to come and see, because this is the greatest hits tour, really.
Basically, you hit it in the nail on the head.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm so excited to come and see this show. We're sadly out of time, but thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, my great pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, you guys.
Irving said, I find myself in a loveless marriage, Hope. And if I'm going to be in one of those, I'd rather be in it with you. We can be very sweet. But I said, you know, Irving, I'm sorry, sweetie, I have nothing for you.
Hit it.
I'm on the move. This is a song made famous by a distant relative of mine in Canada, Mabel Syrup. Here we go. I got candy for my babies, berries for my jam. I got rent for the landlord, mustard for my ham. But I've got nothing for you, nothing at all for you. You lied, you cheated, ruined my credit too. So I've got absolutely nothing for you. Prayers for the preacher, pennies for the bank. I got weed for the goldfish swimming round my tank. But I got nothing for you, nothing at all for you. You worked my nerves, you brought me down, you made me blue. I've got absolutely nothing for you. I gave you something right at the start, something very precious to me. And way too hasty, you wasted my heart. That's the last thing for my whiskey, tonic for my gin. I got a ticket for the lotto, just in case I win. I've got nothing for you, nothing at all for you. I got some sugar-coated loving I'm gonna give to someone new, but I've got absolutely nothing for you. I got coal for the fire for my bagels, I've got lox. I got water for the flowers in my window box, but I've got nothing for you. For you. You lied, you cheated, ruined my credit too. You worked my nerves, you brought me down, you made me blue. I got some sugar-coated loving I'm gonna give to someone new. I've got absolutely nothing for you. I've got nothing. Absolutely none. got nothing for you. Nothing for you. And that's all. So much.
Miss Hope Springs singing Nothing For You, music and lyrics there, of course, by Ty Jeffries. Such a great talent.
Isn't he? And Miss Hope Springs Designs Our Crazy Cocks is running. Do you like that? It's running in London from the 26th of April to the 30th of April. For tickets and more information, head over to BrasseriesAdele.com.
West End star Rachel John is known to be one of the most versatile performers. She began her career in The Lion King in 2005 and went on to play major roles in Memphis, The Bodyguard, and Hamilton, where she played Angelica Schuyler and was nominated for an Olivier Award as Best Supporting Actress. As if that is not enough, she has just recorded her first solo album, From My Mouth to God's Ear. We are thrilled.
We are thrilled
that Rachel is with us now. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you both? Are you okay?
We're great.
Thrilled to be here. Really good. Thank you.
That's good to hear. So what made you originally want to be involved in musical theater? We got to go back a little bit to catch up.
Oh, it's not like the common sort of story. I never wanted to be involved to have anything to do with musical theater, is the truth. I sang at church. Under duress, because it was never something that I wanted to do. But when the elders that you respect tell you that you've got a gift, mm-hmm. to use it, I was quote unquote coerced into being in the choir. So I saw singing as kind of just like an expression of self, and like singing to God or singing in the shower, but it had nothing to do with career wise. Mm-hmm. And then kind of fast forward to like my late teens, early 20s, I was kind of cleaning up the house, sorting out what I was going to do. I was definitely going to uni, and I was throwing away a newspaper and saw this picture in the middle of a symbol of Disney's The Lion King. And it was basically in a black newspaper called The Voice here, and they just said open calls at the bottom. So I just saw the image, just that Mufasa's face and like open calls, and I thought, this is good. I like singing. I've got nothing to do this weekend. So I hopped on a mega bus, which costs about £1. And
it does. That's a bargain, isn't it?
£1. You can literally go anywhere. And so I went from London to Manchester to the open horns for Lion King. Did what I did. I have no idea what I sang. It was probably really inappropriate. that's what I sing. So I probably sang Whitney. I probably just thought, I'll sing what I like. It wasn't acting through song. I can tell you that much. So I went, sang, and they were like, do you want to come for a recall in London? I was like, thank you very much. Went along, and they just kind of got through some stages, and they were like, look, you know, thank you for coming. You're a bit rough around the edges, and that's that. So I went back to kind of studying a bit and part-time work and working in an office, doing admin, and just loving my life. And then got a phone call a year later from Pippa Alien's office saying, we saw you about a year ago. Think you're really brilliant. There's this new show opening in Disneyland Paris, and so do you want to audition? So I spoke to my boss, and at that time I had flexi time, so I was like, look, there's some auditions, but I don't know how it's going to work. And he was like, no, whatever time you need, take whatever time you need, wherever it's going to be. So I got the audition details through, and they were across the road from my office.
No way.
No way.
Bridge. They were running them across the... So I was like, well, he was like, it's meant to be. It's
just mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
So I was like, right. So I'm turning up in office attire, like a suit and a shirt and the whole thing and a tie and all the things. Went in, singing a bit, moving a bit, great. Went in for a couple of weeks, going back in across the road. And then I got a phone call saying, we really like you. This is great. This is the job. You know, do you want to do it? And I went, I've got no annual leave, so I don't. So I can't really do it. Thank you very much. It was really, really nice. Because I can't go anywhere. I've used all my flex time. I've got nothing left. Anyway, so then they then dropped the bomb because I wasn't listening initially. And they said, and actually, it's in Paris. I was like, that's a whole other country. So how
can't do that?
What when you leave and you're taking me to Europe? What? So went in, had the chat with my boss, made him a cup of coffee. I said, look, I've been offered this job. It definitely starts in 2 weeks in Paris. I've got no flexi time. I know I can't do it. Thank you very much. And he went, you have to. It's not something you wanted, but now something's here. You have to try. You have to at least try and then say, maybe it isn't me. But he said, I'm not going to block you. And he went, leave it with me. So I went into work the next day and he just sat me down in the office, pushed this piece of paper across. And he went, right, so for hours you've come in and come out and blah, 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 blah. He said, you can leave at the end of the week. And that was it. I worked 2 more days there. I've been working there for about
a year.
Maybe you'd been wanting to be shot of you all this time, Rachel. You know, maybe it was just an out.
No, it was. It was a poor coffee making.
It was the dreaded coffee.
He was like, she talks too much and her coffee game is weak. So he was like, she needs to go. And that was it. I literally left, packed up, and then 2 weeks later I was living and working in Paris in doing a show called The Legend of the Lion King. There were 5 of them a day. You know, those little 20
minutes. Oh, yeah, yeah. In the park. Yep.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah. So, and I mean, it was a blast if you knew what was happening, because 3 of the shows would be in English and 2 would be in French, as long as the person pressed the right button. But you didn't
know. Oh, that's funny.
About 5 minutes in and you were like, is this the English show or the French show?
So did you have to sing in French?
No, you sang in English, but all your dialogue was in French. Okay. For the French ones. And then you were like, oh, yeah, this is. So, and I stayed there for a year. And then after that, Pippa came back out and said they've got openings in town. And as I say, the rest is history. So that's
the rest is history.
2005. So I've not had drama training and I've not had any of that. I've not been to.
So was that tricky for you? I mean, the corporate world to the theatre world. And is there some snobbery about it?
Yeah.
How'd you deal with that?
Do you know what? I'm a daughter of immigrants, so I don't actually care. I'm aware of myself. I'm aware of the ability to acquire information quickly.
Yeah.
To ask questions. And so because I had done a degree in drama and theatre studies, of course, I understood the mechanics of what a show was and how it worked. But I hadn't actually professionally been in a company in that way. But I just thought, again, like, it's the opportunity to do something. And I'd rather fail forwards and go, actually, you weren't very good or it wasn't the best. But not to try just wasn't an option for me.
Right.
And I learned a lot of things along the way. I lost my voice a bit way through. Learn how to learn lines a little bit better. And so it was the journey. And what I actually learned is that getting to know everybody in the company, from security, cleaners, stage door, lights, foys, you get to know everybody and you'll get to know your craft better. Because then you understand how you facilitate the guys on spots. You facilitate who's on sound. You facilitate your dresses. You're like, okay, is there a better way of us doing this? Is there another way?
Mm-hmm. So I
think my admin brain and my secretary brain came into the planning and plotting of the show. Mm-hmm. And I have to explain it. So it was a transferable skill.
That makes complete sense. Yes. It's a way also to organize your brain, yes. You know, as you're going through it, as you're going through the journey. Yes. Now, you've been in so many hit shows in the West End. Which role, I think I know the answer to this, has been your pivotal role?
Oh, I'm allowed to.
Go on.
All right.
You're going to have two anyway, aren't you?
Because it would have to be Memphis and Felicia, because at that point I had just been covering roles and, you know, in the ensemble covering or a swing and all of that. And then Memphis was the first time I was an alternate. And then when Beverly Knight left to do Cats, that's the first time I'd seen, like, my name was on the front of the theater.
Amazing.
And the credit was taking over for the last few weeks. So that shifted the trajectory of how I was seen in the room, how I was viewed now in terms of auditions, what I was called to do. I suppose the trust that I could, like, hold a show in, like, a lead role or whatever. Even though for me, I think the prep was doing all the other stuff. Because, listen, don't sleep on our under studies and don't sleep on covers, don't sleep on, you got to be switched on, thrown on in the middle of a show. That's how it is. And then, so I feel like when I got to Angelica Skylar, it was like, yeah, I'm ready now.
Yeah.
I am ready for this, both in my personality and I'm ready in terms of my skill set as well.
We are ready for your solo album that has just been released. Tell us about that.
Oh my goodness. So I think, as my sister says, pandemic perks, you know,
There are a lot of pandemic perks, people.
Yep. And this was one of the perks, is that all the churches were empty because nobody was there, because we were just Zoom in church. So we had an empty building. No musicians were working. So I got to pick which musicians I wanted. No singers were working. And so when I had this conversation with this amazing friend of mine, Ramin,
and we have him on next week's show.
Amazing. Adore. I was actually on his podcast and he sort of said, if you could do anything, what would you do? And I said, I'd record, like, you know, family hymns in a church with a band live. That's what I'd do. And he went, oh, okay. Put the phone down. About half an hour later, he rang back and he was like, right, so how do we do it?
Brilliant.
Love it.
And the ball just started rolling. So that's how it came to be. It was kind of like, okay, now I need to sort out which hymns and what song. And so this album's kind of like a nod to my mom and a nod to my gran and a nod to everybody who developed me as a singer. Because without church, without that non-judgmental setting, the singing wouldn't have grown.
Well, we are very grateful we have it. We are sadly out of time, but I have to say, Maureen, I'm extremely glad that Rachel paid a pound to go on the Megabus.
Me too.
You know,
I'm like ready to send her that pound.
I was gonna say, next time I see you, I'm giving you that pound to reimburse you. And I have to say also, I don't know about you, Maureen, but Rachel has a little bit of my heart from this interview. Such a warm, generous and loving person.
Love it.
We need you back on Sunday Show Tunes before very long, I have to say. Congratulations on the album. It's been lovely having you. Thank you so much. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Rachel John singing Blessed Assurance from her brand new album, My Lips to God's Ear. Music and lyrics from the original song, Phoebe Knapp and Fanny Crosby, who was blind, I found out from Wikipedia.
That is fascinating.
A blind hymn writer.
I think that is fascinating. Rachel John's My Lips to God's Ear is available at westwaymusic.com.
Well, that's it for this episode. We'd like to say a huge thank you to Rachel John and Miss Hope Springs for joining us.
If you've enjoyed listening, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite listening platform.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Maureen.
And you've been listening to the Sunday Show Cheers podcast.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.